This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora koutou and welcome.
You've stumbled onto Fix It Up Waitaha,
brought to you by the Ecan Youth Rōpū, empowering young people across the plains.
If you're passionate about our gorgeous environment, get ready for a killer show. Hey, Poppy, let's jump in right with a question. What is your favourite New Zealand animal?
Ooh, favourite New Zealand animal. I've been listening to Critter of the Week recently, which is the RNZ weekly radio show run by Nicola Torkey and one other guy who I should know the name of. And they discuss different critters every week. But is it considered an animal if I talk about the native New Zealand earthworm? Because I'm kind of in love with those guys in terms of they're the food source that Kiwi eat, but they also have a very interesting defense mechanism, according to Critter of the Week. They shoot glow-in-the-dark fluids out of their anus, out of their mouth, out of all of their pores when threatened. So I think the native New Zealand earthworm deserves all the praise in the world for its extravagance and absolute, I don't know, drama? What about you, River?
Wow, my animal's going to sound so lame compared to that. An earthworm that shoots fluids out of its anus. What is a Kiwi doing eating that?
Bioluminescent fluids.
Oh, wow. That is a lot to unpack there. I got to continue. I got to focus. Okay. Serious. Yeah.
What is your favourite animal, River?
My favourite animal is the Kia. First time I came to New Zealand, met them, and I just fell in love. Like, I did not think much of New Zealand wildlife at the time, but first time came, Kia nearly stole some stuff, and I fell in love with them straight away. They're just amazingly smart creatures.
Oh my goodness. Did you hear that they were over in Littleton. There was a Kia sighting.
Really? When was this?
I don't know. A couple months ago? I don't know why or how, because Canterbury Plains, but there was a bit of a fuss over a Kia sighting.
Got lost on Google Maps or something. Jeez. What? How's your week?
Yeah, my week's been good. Got out a little while ago, last Saturday, the Ecan Youth Rōpū went out and did our annual planting, which was amazing. We got 800 trees in the ground, which is exciting, so exciting. And afterwards, there was just a sausage sizzle, some burgers, some patties, and good chats. Getting stuff done with your hands, it makes you really feel like you've gotten something achieved in that weekend. Have you gotten out in the environment this week, River?
Well, I went up to Auckland for Blake Inspire, which was so much fun. There was dolphins, there was amazing people. The people are awesome up there. Everyone's so interested, everyone's involved, and we went to this predator-free island, which is insane. There's like Takahir. Sorry, everyone. I'm sure I pronounced that wrong, but it was just awesome. Yeah, we learned so much about how to protect our waterways and how we want to improve our environment in our local communities. And I can't wait to work it out and work with different people. It's going to be awesome.
Who was the coolest person that you met up there?
Don't do this. Everyone's going to be... No.
Abstain. refuse to contribute to that question. Yeah. Might cause some turbulence within the Blake Inspire community. Well, I don't know. What was your favourite workshop up there? What did you get done?
Testing for water samples. That was... So many people have done that who are into the environment, but that was first time for me, and it was so interesting to see all the different macro invertebrates. I hope I'm getting that right. And it was, like, really cool to see all the krill and animals, and it was, like, to see how healthy the river was.
So cool. Can you tell us a little bit about Blake Inspire and how you heard of it?
Oh, yeah. Everyone should do it, honestly. Yeah, if you got the time, apply for it. So much fun. I heard about it through school. I was looking for trips to do, and so many people were saying, go on Blake Inspire. And yeah, I can't recommend it enough. It's insane. Like, you apply, hopefully get in, and then it's just 4 days, no, 5 days of just great fun.
Just going about and learning things and visiting incredible spaces and being surrounded by incredible people. I'm so glad that you loved it.
And Bobby, what about you? What trips have you done before?
Oh, I went on Blake Inspire too, which I loved. So it's something that I absolutely think that everyone should get on, just because it feels like a space where you're surrounded by absolute inspiration. And I know that at the end they get everyone to do an elevator pitch, a 1-minute project pitch of something that they're going to go out and enact in their community. What was yours?
If anyone from the trip is actually listening, I wrote everything down in my hand 30 minutes before, and so everyone was laughing at me, but I'm excited about it. And it's, I believe you're on The Voice for Canterbury?
Youth Voice Canterbury,
yeah.
Yep.
I wanted to actually get a bunch of cool, like, youth ropers, sustainability councils at school, and just create a huge networking event so that people who are interested in the environment but don't know what to do can come around, get involved, see some cool ideas, and just create some amazing stuff. That was my action plan.
If you are on a sustainability council and listening to this show right now, get in touch with us, because yeah, that sounds amazing, River, and I'm sure we can make it happen. Our upcoming interview today is actually another alumni from Blake Inspire. It's not becoming an advertisement episode or anything, but she took that elevator pitch and turned it into an initiative aiming to increase education around predator-free NZ and predator-free 2050. She uplifted a group of passionate students who were interested in getting more experience in trapping, and they now have an ongoing trapping initiative which focuses on reducing those predator numbers and increasing bird life. So Blake Inspire promo episode, but that's going to be super exciting, and stay tuned, everyone. Today's media news segment, Good News River. Did you hear that Florida's turtle population is thriving? Their turtle nesting season is about halfway through. It runs from March through October, and they have already reached the nesting season record despite being only halfway through. They recorded 2,998 nests along a 15-kilometer space of beach.
Wow, that's insane. Only halfway through and we're already, like, breaking records. That's super cool. I mean, look, not a big fan of America, but, you know, at least they're getting turtles right.
And it's amazing because only 1 in 1,000 turtles survive to adulthood. So any win for the turtles is a win for everyone. Save the turtles and all that jazz.
Yeah. Everyone's got a story with a turtle. What's yours?
Oh, I love turtles. Back when I was younger, I would enter this competition called Driftwood and Sands, and it was in Hokitika on the West Coast, and it encouraged artists to make various sculptures out of driftwood and the materials on the beach. It was my favourite time of year because it was all these artists just creating in a space together. The first time I made a turtle, I made one twice. The first time I made a turtle was when I was 6. It was a man riding a turtle, and the man was made out of driftwood. He had like a piece of knotted driftwood brush as his head, and then the turtle was made out of sand and rocks. And the second time, it was a collection of us, and we made a turtle taxi, a massive turtle, and there was a seat on him, so people who came to the festival could take a picture with this turtle taxi. It had a cute little sign, "Hi, come take a photo." And yeah, I love turtles. I'm super pleased with this win.
Yeah, nice. That's awesome. That's so cool. Honestly, if we had a turtle taxi, I would so take it. I wouldn't even care how much it cost.
No more bus system, yeah. Just the turtle taxi. Yeah.
Fun fact, turtles change their gender depending on the weather. So if it's like 15 degrees, I'm assuming, they'd be males, where if it's like 30, they'd be females. Another really great scientific fact is that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are actually tortoises.
Going back to that first one, I love the way you started it with turtles change their gender as per the weather. Because it kind of just sounds like there's these gender fluid turtles running around and gender correlates to the weather, which I think is incredible. You're saying how when they are nested, the temperature of the sand relates to how many males versus females there'll be in that nest?
Yeah, I guess so.
Climate change would impact that pretty severely, wouldn't it?
Yeah, when I was up in Australia, we had this crocodile park near around, which was great fun to go to. But the problem is that there's a lot more females than there are males now because the temperature is just too hot.
Yeah, that's a massive thing. It means that maybe one day a lot of reptiles are going to have to be bred in captivity so that we have a number of males, is it, to keep the population going.
Yeah, that's really sad to think about.
Climate change, everybody.
Yeah.
Fix it up, Waitaha. Come on, existential crisis. That's what we're for.
Get excited.
Kia ora, folks. We've got Anya here in studio. How have you gotten out in the environment this week, Anya?
Yesterday, actually, I explored a new place, Living Springs, which is just on the other side of the Port Hills. I was volunteering and we did some bait lines. They have 18 trap lines with bait stations along them. I learnt about some new traps that I've never set before and never used, so that was awesome. And just exploring a new area was great to be out in the bush. Yeah.
My understanding is that you've been involved with conservation for a few years. How did you first get involved with that and what have you been up to?
Yeah, so I'd say I've been involved in conservation or sort of environmental volunteering since year 12. So 2 years ago, 2021, I started getting involved by just attending like tree plantings or anything that was really open to the public. I didn't really have any connection to conservation previously. Like I didn't really know anyone. My parents really weren't involved. But I sort of just researched and found some days that were open to the public and started attending and progressed from there. Before I moved to Ōtautahi, I was living in Auckland. That's where I'm originally from. And I was at high school doing high school things, but was doing quite a bit outside of school as well within the environmental space, working with Forest and Bird Youth Auckland, and then within school, set up a project called Westlake Kaitiaki, which was, well, it still is, still happening, a practical environmental education group for students to learn new skills like predator trapping, how to plant trees, freshwater monitoring, just general environmental education that I personally found really hard to obtain that I wanted to help provide for other youth.
Yeah, it's really, really hard finding resources, I think, to actually get into conservation.
Totally. Yeah, I definitely found that because I didn't really have any connection to it. I spent my school nights online researching ways that I could help. I read books, read articles, did like online conservation courses. So Department of Conservation have some accessible ones that anyone can do in like animal ecology or learning about birds or whatever it may be.
It's a shame that I find everyone feels like they have to start at square one when they get into conservation. It's like, where are these resources and where are these ways of actually starting?
Totally. From my experience, at least at my school, there wasn't really any environmental education or any accessible opportunities to learn that conservation stuff. It's not seen as important as learning the other subjects at high school, or there's just maybe a lack of funding. But I think environmental education is so powerful, even if we just incorporate taking students outside of the maths classroom or the English classroom and just learning out there outside for a little bit would be really beneficial.
I guess for students that don't have an environmental group in their school, do you have any recommendations for how to go about starting one?
Well, at my high school, we did have a enviro club, but it was focused on things that I wasn't specifically really passionate about. They're still doing great mahi, but for me, starting a group at high school, I sort of had to start by gaining knowledge myself first in conservation. So joining different groups and different workshops outside of high school to gain those skills and attending programs like Blake so that I felt more confident and that I thought, yeah, I could run something that teaches those skills that I just learned to other students. So I think, yeah, gaining those skills yourself first is really important, and then you can get the confidence and then start something in your school.
I know that there are resources out there. It's just finding them. There's Predator Free, NZ and Doc are two that I find amazing. For our listeners, could you give us just a brief overview of what Predator Free 2050 is and how it fits into our current relevance in the education system?
So Predator Free 2050 is an initiative that's involved with the government, and Predator Free 2050, it's its own whole organisation, and it's aiming to get rid of possums, all three types of rats, stoats, ferrets and weasels, I believe, by 2050, down to zero as a number. It doesn't include feral cats and hedgehogs and some other things, but that's the target by 2050 to get those select predators down to a number of zero. And whilst the Department of Conservation and lots of other governmental organisations are doing work with that, it's a whole community effort as well, involved with community groups across Aotearoa. So yeah.
What positive changes have you seen in spaces of active trapping measures in terms of the biodiversity there? What have you seen that's made a big difference?
Personally, I haven't been involved in something for long enough to see the changes in the natural environment, but I've seen the changes in the people learning the skills. And for me, I've seen youth learn about predator monitoring or predator control and just learning something new and getting that like rush when you're like, oh, this is so cool. I never learned this before. Now I can actually use this skill and do something good with it. I think Predator Free 2050 and predator control in general has the ability to help the natural environment and then connect people back to the environment, because I think there's quite a big disconnect there right now.
If you were able to go back and speak to your younger self, what would you say to help inspire, to help ease the process into a passion? What would you tell your younger self?
I'd say keep curious and keep passionate and keep wanting to learn, because that's what keeps you motivated when it may become challenging to find ways to get involved.
And also like how that relates to everyone else. Do you have younger siblings?
I have a younger brother, and he's actually showed some interest recently about getting more involved, because he does lots of different sports and hangs out with his friends and stuff. But lots of young people feel like they want to help. It's just unsure of how to do that. So providing him with a bit of advice on how to do that.
And how did your relationship with the outdoors start? Where has that taken you?
I guess growing up in Aotearoa, most people get to go outside a little bit at least, and I've been quite fortunate being able to explore lots of different places in New Zealand. One of the most influential places that I've travelled to was Doubtful Sound. That was amazing. We spent a night there and got to learn about the ecosystems in the area. And it was also the space that inspired me to start anything in conservation, really. So we were there and I was amazed by the different birds and the whole vast environment there. But the day we woke up, the sky was burnt red, and that was from the Australian wildfires. And then the contrast there really set something in me. I was like, how can I help this amazing place? That's where the outdoors has inspired me within conservation.
And now you're taking a whole course on it and probably going to spend maybe a whole life on it. So
hopefully. There's no rush to get involved. You have time. We're only young. But although I say that, we do want to help because we see there's a need to help.
What is one other main tip that you'd have for students getting into conservation?
If you don't really know anyone in the field yet or have many connections, I'd totally recommend using your phone, getting on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and just following a bunch of different environmental organisations in your area and then seeing what opportunities they post, signing up. Even if you don't have any friends keen to go, just embrace being a little bit in the unknown, a bit uncomfortable, and just going to those events, forming some connections, and then stuff will flow on from there. But not to put too much pressure on yourself to get involved with absolutely everything. Everyone's experience is going to be different. You might not have the means to start a project, but whatever way you can get connected with the natural environment and help it and help other people do that, I think that's really awesome.
And in that connection, right now you're involved with Forest and Bred Youth, is my understanding. What's Forest and Bred Youth up to at the moment?
So for those who don't know, Forest and Bred Youth is a nationwide organisation. It's related to Forest and Bird, but it's separate. It's the youth department. So it's for 14-year-olds to 25-year-olds, I believe. And there's different hubs across the country. So I've been involved with the Auckland one. But after moving from Auckland to Christchurch, I'm now in the Christchurch hub. In Christchurch, we have lots of different events happening. We've just started a project in Mugford Reserve, which is near the Bexley wetland. We started it this year and we're aiming to help restore the wetland. So we've been doing some vegetation surveys, bird counts, plantings, hopefully some trap lines soon. That's one of our projects. And then we've run some different things. We've got a trip to Quail Island coming up soon, where we're going to hear from the trust that works there, just explore the island, help with some weeding, get rid of some wilding pines. And then we've also got a trip to Arthur's Pass coming up soon to do some trap building with the Wildlife Trust up there. So we've got lots of different things that youth can sign up to pretty easily. We've got transport available and stuff like that. So personally, I think it's a great organisation to start getting involved in conservation and start becoming a leader in the area.
Where would we find that, all the information?
We've got a Facebook group and then Instagram as well. We've got our sign-up forms up there and posts.
Sick. How do you see the rest of this year looking? In terms of we're moving into summer and we're everything's looking brighter. What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, it feels like summer. The weather's been great recently. Actually warm, which is nice.
Oh my goodness, Christchurch, imagine.
Well, I've got a few months left of my course. We finish in November. And then after that, hopefully working or volunteering, maybe with Department of Conservation in the Nelson Lakes area. If I don't do that, back in Auckland, I work as an outdoor instructor and at a marine education centre. So if I'm not volunteering, I'll be going back and doing that.
Well, thank you for coming in today. It's really cool to just hear people. I love it. I find it so amazing. And every time we have someone in, and the past two times, I keep forgetting to tell people this, but we ask you to bring in a song. Ooh. Are there any that are playing on your mind as of this moment?
I've got a lot of different music in my Spotify. I like lots of different genres, but Goth Babe, they've got a few different good songs. I like Driving South. Somehow all the songs represent my mood in one way or another, no matter how I'm feeling. It always makes me feel a little bit happier. So, yeah.
Time for another view.
Thank you so much for joining us, Anya. It was fabulous talking to you.
Thank you. You too. Awesome talking to you.
Thank you for listening to Fix It Up Waitaha.
We'd love to hear what you're getting up to in your own spaces. Follow along or send us a message at ekanyuthropu on all social places. That's ECANUthropu. And listen again every second Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your audio.
And we hope you get out and do your part to fix it up. Once upon-